friendship. I hope you've had a fantastic weekend so far. If not, hopefully we'll make it better this morning as we wrap up this series, Manifesto. But before we get into it, I just want to take a moment and thank one of our teams that works behind the scenes. You guys get to see what they do and their craft each and every week as we do this. But we have a communications team and video team and creative arts and graphic arts and all that stuff that create these graphics and these videos for each and every series. And they do such a tremendous job with it. And so would you do me a favor? Would you just let them know how much you appreciate how hard they work on that? Because it is unbelievable. And I'll tell you, he's not here this morning, but when you see him, our model for the manifesto is Ray Wallace. So make sure that you, I mean, what a great name, like Ray Wallace. And I'll tell you that when he took the axe, you know, and the piece of wood, that was one take, first time, right through, split it in half. It was fantastic. It was absolutely beautiful. His wife doesn't believe it, but we keep telling him it's true. We've been in this series for the last 3 weeks called Manifesto. And our desire was to take the pages of the Word of God and put them in a fashion for men to be able to take what's being said about them from the Word of God and put it in a simple statement, what we call our manifesto, and be able to apply it to our everyday lives. So ladies, if you're here today, first of all, we say this, you know, every single week during this series. It's not that this isn't for you, but it's designed and crafted kind of to hit men right between the eyes where they are. All truth is God's truth. You're going to get something from today. So I promise you, just, you know, engage, listen, be a part of it. But really, this last 4 weeks, these last 3 weeks and today, the fourth week, have been designed kind of from a masculine perspective so that men can get an idea of what it means to be a real man according to what the Bible says. And we've laid out our manifesto this way. The first one is that I will pursue my God recklessly. And the fact that God has pursued us with a reckless abandon through his son, Jesus Christ, sending him to earth to become human, to die for our sins, and doing that without care for the consequences or the cause. And so if God has pursued us in that fashion, that the least thing that we can do is pursue him in that same way. To follow after him with everything that we have and all that we are with a reckless abandon, not caring about the consequences that may come because we believe that our God is worth pursuing in that fashion. And then as we talk about and understanding the idea of our relationship with God being right, the second part is our relationship with ourselves. We talked about the fact that as men, we need to understand and embrace the idea of improving ourselves continually. That as men, we have those parts of us that are the spiritual, the emotional, the mental, the physical. And that we have a responsibility as men to continually improve ourselves, never be stagnant, never sit back and wait for somebody else to do it for us, but take responsibility for who we are and continue to advance that. And when our relationship with God is right and our relationship with ourselves is right, then we can have a relationship with others in the way that God intended. And that was what we talked about last week, that not only will I improve myself continually, but I will love my family unconditionally. That there's no condition, there's no predetermined things that we set on them and say, well, if you do this, then I will. No, it doesn't work that way. As men, when we take someone as our wife and we choose to have kids, we've given up the right to not love them unconditionally because God has loved us unconditionally. We are to emulate our Heavenly Father and love our wife and love our kids unconditionally, without reservation, without restraint, and that we receive the love from God and therefore we express the love to those around us. And so today, we come to the last phrase, the last part of the manifesto, which simply says, I will do my job excellently. I will do my job excellently. Now, I know that work is a four-letter word, really, W-O-R-K. Work is a four-letter word, and sometimes we think about it that way. I love the old joke about golf. Anybody love golf? I love to play golf. At least that's what they say. And the joke is, you know, the reason that they named it golf is because all the other four-letter words were taken. Okay, not enough golfers. Okay, but this idea that work is something that is not God-ordained. It's something that happened because Adam and Eve sinned and God cursed them with work. People take the passage out of context where God says to Adam, listen, now you will work by the sweat of your brow. And they say, look, see, that's a curse, that's a sin. And so listen, when we finally get to heaven, work is gone. It's going to be great. We can sit around and eat bonbons and watch TV, and it's just going to be fantastic. This is what it's all about. And unfortunately, in our culture today, we've kind of bought into this idea that we're to work our entire life so that we can retire and not have to work anymore. Boy, and that's the joy. That's the enthusiasm. That's the great part that we should all look forward. But here's the problem. The Bible doesn't teach that. In fact, the Bible teaches something very, very different from that. And we're going to begin at the very beginning in Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, God has created everything, and he comes to the pinnacle of his creation, which is mankind. The Bible says he created Adam out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. In other words, he brought him into being. And before God created Eve, God and Adam had a conversation. And God told Adam, listen, these are the rules. These are the things that you're supposed to do. And then the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, this, the Lord God took the man and placed him in the Garden of Eden to what? To work. Wait, time out. This is before Eve is even around. This is before Adam and Eve even sinned. This is before any of that. God literally created the perfect environment in the Garden of Eden where there was no sin, there was no disease, there was no sickness, there was nothing. And yet in that perfect environment, God said, Adam, I want to put you to work. You know, that doesn't seem to mesh with how we feel about work, is it? Because God created a perfect environment, and the environment did not become unperfect until Adam and Eve sinned. And that means that work is part of the perfect gifts of God. Now, that is probably not something you've ever heard before. Work is something that God gave you, and I'm going to talk specifically to guys, because again, Eve wasn't even around yet. God literally created Adam. The Bible says that he created him, and then it also says the same thing about Eve, that he created him in his image. His character, his personality, it reflects who he was. We are, as men, a reflection of who God is. And so as a part of the image of God, God says to Adam, part of who you are, part of the reason that you exist is to work. It's a part of who you are. And then notice how it ends. It says to work it and to watch over it. He not only gave him a job, he gave him responsibility. He said, I'm going to give you this job, and your job is to make sure that it all runs properly. Your job is to take care of it. Your job is to watch over it. You are to do all those things. And then after Adam, God brought all the animals from Adam. God's like, you need help. And so God created Eve. And Eve came along, and Adam's like, this is fantastic. This is wonderful. I love this. She looks kind of like me, but nice. And this is wonderful. And so that's how it all started. And then Adam and Eve sinned, and the whole thing, you know, fell apart. And so, but here's the thing that's very important to understand is that work was created by God before sin was in the picture. And so men, you have to understand that as a part of your DNA, you need to work. That's a part of who you are. That's a part of who God created you to be. And what's even, we'll just hammer this nail in a little bit further. That's a part of who God is. The Bible says that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, who was also fully God. He became the image, the reflection of who God is in us. And God, Jesus Christ, took on flesh. He was fully God and fully man. And he lived 33 and a half years to show us what God was like. And as a part of that reflection, showing us who God is like, in John chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus Christ says these words, but Jesus replied, my Father is what? Always working. My Father is always working, and then he finishes it with this, and so am I. So we have to understand, not only did God create work as something that as men, but also as human beings, but as men specifically, that God created as a part of our DNA, that is a reflection or an expression of the perfection of who God is in us when we work and we do the things that God's called us to do. And now, what's interesting, it's very important, because I know some of you that are workaholics, you're like, I found my life verse. John 5:17, God's always working, so am I. Here's the problem with that understanding, and just going to put this caveat in this whole message today, because it's very important to understand. Yes, God has given you work to do, men, but God has also, when you take a bride, God said, you are to love her as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. She now moves to the top of the food chain. And then when you choose to have kids, they move just below your wife in the food chain. And the Bible says that you are to love and honor and love your children and raise them in the gospel and the admonition and the understanding of who God is. And then you become third. When you literally say, I do, you give up your rights. And you say, they are first. And as a part of that, you love your children, you love your wife. Therefore, you go to work because you want to provide for them. You want to take care of them. You want to do the things that are necessary so they can be all that they can be. But you also have to balance it with the understanding that they are your number one priority, not work. And so we understand that hopefully that just kind of peels back some of the layers of unfortunate teaching and unfortunate cultural understanding of what work is, because work is literally a gift from God given to us as men to fulfill part of our purpose. And it's a reflection of who God is in us. So what I want to do is I want to give you some things, because I don't believe that God just gives us work. I believe that God blesses us with the ability to work hard. I don't believe that God wants us to do just enough. Have you ever looked at the world and said, oh, God's a God of just enough? That just doesn't compute. God wants us to give it our all. When we are there, we are working as hard as we possibly can to do and be the best that we possibly can. So I'm going to give you five things that when we work hard, that we get back from working hard. The value, the joy, the redemption, the fulfillment of working hard. So here's the first thing. Working hard keeps us out of trouble. Working hard keeps us out of trouble. Now you're like, okay. Let me just put a couple things for you. Let me put a couple images in your brain. Let's take 25-year-old little girls and put them in a room together with nothing to do. You come back 10 minutes later, they have organized, they have come up with a game that they probably made up out of thin air. They're all probably talking to each other, and this is just interaction. That's the way that they are. You take 25-year-old little boys, you put them in a room with no instruction, you're going to come back and there's going to be stuff hanging. And it's probably going to be some of them. There might be blood. There may be animals that have been, you know, torn apart in several places. There's probably stuff all over the place. Because as guys, if we don't have something to do, we're like, okay, we don't have something to do, let's destroy something. Because that sounds like a plan. That's just, I mean, as men, if we don't have something to do, we end up doing things that we shouldn't do. I love, it's a true story. I can't remember the guy's name. It was several years ago. He was unemployed. He was out of work, and he was bored. And he always wanted to fly. So he got himself a lawn chair, and he strapped like 150 weather balloons to him and filled them up with helium. He tethered the chair down, and he got himself a BB gun so that, you know, when he was done, because he always wanted to fly, when he was done flying, he would just shoot the weather balloons one at a time and slowly descend. And he also got himself a case of beer, which makes complete sense. And he probably had a few before he came up with this idea. So he straps himself into the lawn chair, and he cuts the rope, and he, like, shoots up to 600 feet immediately. And he freaks out. He freaks out so much that he forgets that he has a BB gun. In fact, he's frightened about shooting the balloons because his fear is that he's going to hit more than one, and they're going to fall, and then he will catapult to the ground the way that he catapulted up. Unfortunately, because of the air and all that stuff, he was pushed into LAX airspace, Los Angeles, California, you know, the busiest airport in the world. And this call came into the tower. Tower, you're not going to believe this. There's a guy in a lawn chair up here. And so the entire LAX and county, you know, sheriff's department and the Los Angeles Police Department, they all come out. They're trying to get this guy out of the sky because he's literally shut down LAX airport. They finally get him down, and he's being arrested at this point in time because that's against the law, by the way. And as he's getting arrested, a reporter asked him, Mr. So-and-so, I can't remember his name, why did you do this? And he literally says, it should be made into T-shirts. A man can't just sit around. I love that. Guys, if we are not doing what we have been gifted and called and given to do, it gets us in trouble. And so when we are working hard, it keeps us out of trouble. The Bible even says this in 2 Thessalonians, it's easy for me to say, chapter 3, verses 10 through 14, Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica, and he says this, when we were with you, we gave you this rule. Literally said, this is a rule that you all have to follow. Anyone who refuses to work should not eat. That's a really good rule. It really is. Notice it doesn't say anyone who can't work, who doesn't have the ability to work. It says anyone who refuses to work, anyone who would rather sit at home watching sports eating potato chips, shouldn't eat. Those potato chips should be taken away from them. Because if they refuse to work, they shouldn't eat. We hear that some people in your group refuse to work. They do nothing but busy themselves in other people's lives. You know these people, don't you? See, guys, if we don't work, we end up getting in trouble. We end up doing things that we shouldn't do with people that we shouldn't be around, at times that we shouldn't do it, in places that we shouldn't be. Because we have abandoned one of the purposes that God put in us, and that is to work. He continues, and he comes on pretty strong here. He says, we command those people, and we beg them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to work quietly and earn your own food. But you, brothers and sisters, never become tired of doing good. If some people don't obey the commands or the things that we tell you to do in this letter, then take note of them. Have nothing to do with them so that they will feel ashamed. Guys, I don't think I can say this any stronger than this, but if you're not working, if you are not doing everything that you can to find work and find purpose and do what you're called to do, then you really should be ashamed. I don't want to be ugly about it, but that's the truth. You really should feel ashamed. And I'll just be blunt with you. And I've told our girls this. We've had conversations. I've told Tracy this. Listen, if something happens here at Friendship Church and, the church folds or whatever and I don't have a job and the only job I can find is flipping burgers at McDonald's, guess what? I will flip burgers at McDonald's and I will do it for the glory of God because as a man, I'm called to work and I'm never going to stop. You know, there's no such thing in the Bible called retirement. We'll get to that in a second. I don't want to jump ahead. Working hard keeps us out of trouble. Working hard, number two. See, I'm working hard, so it's going to keep me out of trouble for right now. Working hard honors God and rewards us. Working hard honors God and rewards us. Because remember, we're made in the image of God, and God is the ultimate worker. And so when we work, we are reflecting, we're showing the image of God to those around us. Notice what it says in Colossians chapter 3. It says, whatever you are doing, work at it with enthusiasm. You're like, you don't know what I do. There is no enthusiasm here. You know what? It's perspective. It's all perspective. Because there are people that work at the job that you would hate doing and they come to work and they've got a smile on their face and they're enthusiastic and they're excited and they're ready to do it because they look at it from a different perspective than you and I do. Guys, if you've gotten to the point where you have lost your joy of doing your work and doing your job, there's something wrong. And that which is wrong is how you see it, how you look at it. Notice what the Apostle Paul says we need to look at it. We need to do it with enthusiasm as to the Lord. You go, my boss is an idiot. He probably is. Unless you work here. Then he's fantastic. You go, my boss is an idiot. He doesn't get anything right. He didn't even know what he's doing. You're probably right. He's probably a moron. He probably got that job because he's related to somebody else. But here's the truth. You, as a Christian and as a Christian man, don't work for him. You work for God. And so whether you are putting pipes together, whether you are welding, whether you are taking care of books or you're writing code, whatever the case may be, you do it not for the glory of boss, but you do it for the glory of God. And you do it with energy and excitement and enthusiasm. Notice how he finishes. He says, because you know that you will receive your inheritance from the Lord as a reward. You go, I don't get paid enough to do that. You're right, you probably don't. And quite frankly, some of the most important jobs in the world don't get paid anywhere near the way that they're supposed to be paid. But here's the thing. You're not doing it for that. You're doing it for God. And as you do it for God, God promises that he will richly reward you for that. You look at your paycheck and you go, it ain't worth it. You're like, probably isn't. When you do it for God, you realize that in the end, he doesn't ever be a debtor to anyone. He will richly reward you when you do it for him. And he finishes with this, serve the Lord Christ, for the one who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there are no exceptions. There are no exceptions. When you do it for God, the Bible says that you will be richly rewarded. However, if you refuse to do it the way that you are supposed to, you will also be repaid that way. And there's no exceptions for it. I believe with all of my heart that we as Christians should be the ones that work the hardest because we are not doing it for other people. We're doing it for God. The sad part is if you talk to bosses and HR people, oftentimes they'll say, if I find out someone's a Christian, that's actually a mark against them because often Christians are the ones that work the least because they're so concerned about sharing Christ, but they want to do it while they get paid for doing another job. Folks, if you're getting paid to do a job, man, if you're getting paid to do a job, do the job. Do the job. And here's why. Because number three, working hard earns us respect. Working hard earns us respect. You see, here's the thing. If you're running around, you're going, I'm doing it for Jesus. No, you're not, because Jesus told you to work hard. You are not working hard if you're running around not doing what your boss has told you to do. Well, when am I supposed to do it? Well, why don't you do it on your lunch break? Well, I won't have enough time to eat. Sacrifice for Jesus then. See, I want to sacrifice my boss's time, but not my time. So here's the thing. If we're willing to work hard, we earn respect. People look at us and go, man, that man works hard. Look at this. 1 Thessalonians, this is the first book that Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, and he writes this. Make it your goal. Whenever you're reading the Bible and it says something like, make it your goal, you should stop and take notice because that's important. Underline that, circle that, highlight it, and go, okay, what am I supposed to make my goal? Because obviously the writer put it in here because he wanted to get my attention. And so he says, make it your goal to live a quiet life, minding your own business, even on Facebook, and working with your hands, just as we instructed you before. Then people who are not believers, now notice this, he goes, then even the people that don't believe in God, then even the people that are atheists and don't want to hear about church, then even the people that don't want anything to do with God, even they will what? Respect you. Even they will respect the way that you live, and you will not need to depend on others. Now, ladies, if you haven't figured this out, you, my guess would be you haven't been married very long and you didn't have any siblings that were boys. But as men, there's something in us that says we can do it ourselves. We don't need help. And as men, there's something in us, and when something breaks in our house, you know, I don't know about you, but as a guy, something breaks in our house, and I'm like, I can fix that. Pull YouTube out, you start, you know, YouTubing it, looking at how you're going to fix it, and something breaks in your car, and there's just something about it, and you're like, you get it, and you fix it, and you get that pipe that's leaking or whatever, and you get it, and it stopped leaking, and you step back, and you're like, yeah, because as a man, you fixed it. You didn't need to call the plumber. I got it all figured out. Your wife got the plumber on speed dial just waiting, right? Like, all right. But you got it all figured out. You fixed it yourself. And there's something in us as men that like, man, when we do it, we don't need to depend on others. Now, this is not anti-spiritual. I just want to be honest with you here. Just be blunt. The Bible says that as men, when we work hard, we do it the way that we're supposed to do it, we don't have to run around depending on everyone else to take care of us. And by the way, that builds you up to become more like Christ. Working hard keeps us out of trouble. Working hard honors God and rewards us. Working hard earns us respect. Working hard leads us to more. Working hard leads us to more. The Bible says this in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 23, there is profit in all hard work. Now we see profit and we immediately think this. We immediately think money. That's not what it says. It says profit, which means more or gaining more. There's profit in all hard work. And then notice how it ends. It says, but endless talk only leads to poverty or less. So he says, listen, when you work hard, it always leads to more. When you are not willing to work hard or all you do is talk, it leads to less. You've met those people, right, that talk a good game, but the minute you put something in their hand, they can't do anything. Like, listen, you've got a great voice. That's fantastic. Why don't you shut up and do some work? And it says, listen, if you are unwilling to do that, it leads to less. The hard work leads to more. And we always think financial, but I want to just let's change it a little bit. Instead of thinking it this way, you'll get more respect because we just talked about that. You'll have more joy. You actually have the satisfaction of completing things and finishing them. You'll have a fulfillment. you actually have the potential, by working hard, to have more life. Now, this is interesting. The Bible never uses the word retirement, and I kind of prefaced that earlier. And they did an interesting study. In fact, they've done, I think, five of them, one after another, because they wanted to see if the results were the same, because it was so astounding. And they did this over like a 20-year period. And they came to these results. Those people that retire early at 55 have an 89% chance, so almost 90% chance of dying within the first 10 years of their retirement, more so than those that retire at 65. So if you retire at 55, there is a 90% more chance that you will die in the first 10 years than if you wait until you're 65 to retire. And you go, that's astounding. Do you know why? Because as men, you know what we do? If that purpose is removed, we don't have a purpose. We lose a part of who we are. And so we sit in front of the TV and we watch sports and we eat food, and all of a sudden our body goes, well, if you've given up, so do I. And that's what happens. You've probably seen it. Maybe some of your dads or your grandpas were that way. Man, they worked their entire life. They worked hard. They were great physical condition. That means you're like, man, they're 60 years old or 50 years old and they could lift a horse. And all of a sudden they stopped, and then they stopped. They didn't just transition into something else. They didn't pick up something else that they could do to work out. They just stopped. And all of a sudden, they aged right before your eyes. You see, there's something in us as men. We've got to continue to keep moving forward and doing something to keep that purpose moving within us. Working hard keeps us out of trouble. Working hard honors God and rewards us. Working hard earns us respect. Working hard leads us to more. And finally, working hard satisfies our soul. Working hard satisfies our soul. Guys, have you ever done something? You ever worked so hard on something, and when it's done, you kind of step back and you're like, yeah, that's fantastic. And like that night is the best night's sleep you've ever had in your life. It's like, oh. I have a Saturn car. It's a Saturn View. So I'm always working on it because it's a Saturn View. And there's always something wrong with it that I'm having to YouTube and fix. And there's something on the car. It's a frame piece that broke off. And so I have had to learn how to weld. And it's fun. I tell you, those of you that are welders, man, I would love to do this all day long. It'd be fantastic. But I'd probably get bored with it like within a week. But it's just something cool when you're doing it. So I took this thing off and I welded this piece and created this whole new piece. And I had to drill a hole out of it, create the groove that was perfect to the one that was on the original piece. And I'm working through the whole thing and I get it all done. And I come back to the house and Tracy's like, well, how did it go? You know what you do? I'm like, man, I got this thing all completed and it's beautiful. And she laughs. And I'm like, what are you laughing for? You just call a piece of metal beautiful. I'm like, well, you didn't see it. As guys, there's just something that when you do it and you work on it and you finish it and you look at it, you're like, that's fantastic. There's something within our souls that just loves to work at something and complete it. It satisfies a longing, a desire within us to be able to do it. And look what the Bible said, Proverbs 13:4. Says the soul of the sluggard. That's a great word. That's a great name. You want to name, you know, don't name your kid that, but sluggard craves and gets nothing. You see, if you're not willing to do the work, the desires of your heart go unsatisfied. The desires of your heart go unfulfilled. But then notice how he ends it. He says, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. Proverbs 21:25 says this, a slacker's craving. Yeah, the Bible used the word slacker. That's fantastic. Now you can call somebody a slacker and go, hey, it's biblical, slacker. A slacker's craving will kill him because his hands refuse to work. So, you know, as a man, there's that desire to accomplish things. But if you're unwilling to work hard, those desires could potentially eat you from the inside out. And you won't be able to see anything accomplished in your life. And here's what happens. Maybe you know some people like this. Because you're unwilling to work hard, the things that you want or you feel that you need, you don't get. And so instead of simply getting off your butt in a Christian way and doing the work, you begin to look at other people who have done the work and you complain and you criticize them. Well, why do they get that? And if you would have a conversation with those people and you say, well, how did you get that? Well, you know what? I worked for 25 years on the same goal and I finally accomplished it. I worked hard and I saved and I did this and I did that and I did this and I finally got to the position. I worked my way up through the company because I was diligent and I worked hard and I came every day and I worked for my Lord Jesus Christ and I earned the respect of those around me. And finally the day came when I was able to see it through and able to do what God called me to be, and it was fantastic and it was wonderful. They're like, you're so lucky. No, you worked hard. And guys, God has put it within you to work hard. And if you are unwilling to do that, a part of who you are will go missing. And you will feel that emptiness, and you will look to fill it in other ways. And it will lead you down paths that you should never go and cause you all sorts of heartache. So as one man to another, I challenge you. If you are not doing what God's called you to do and you are not working hard, take up the challenge. Be the man that God has called you to be and work at it with all of your heart, because it's for His glory and for your benefit. And it will set yourself and your family up to be all that you can be in the eyes of God. Father, we thank you so much for the gift of work. I know that's hard sometimes even for us to say those words, but it's true. We thank you for the fact that you gave us as men this desire. And God, I pray that as men we understand that a desire unfulfilled rots us from the inside out. God, I pray that we'll embrace the truth that you have given work to us as a gift, that you literally are the ultimate worker, and that God, if we are going to be your sons, that we need to be workers too. We need to balance it as a husband and a father, but God, we need to be workers too. And God, we do it because you have stamped your image on us. And God, I pray that we take it seriously. That we don't do just enough or just enough to get by, but we work at it with all of our heart, working hard for you. We thank you for that. And we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who pointed the way. Amen.